Welcome back to our Nach Yomi series on Sefer Yirmiyahu. In today's shir, we're studying Perek Mem Aleph, chapter 41. Before we begin our shir, let's review the key events in the last chapter, because it ended in the middle of a story. The characters involved are as follows. There's Gedaliah ben Achikam, who is put in charge by the Babylonians of all the people remaining in Yehuda, because the Babylonians had allowed a Jewish presence to remain in the hills of Yehuda around Yerushalayim, especially for the poor people who posed no threat at all to the Babylonian occupation. There were many Jews who had run away from Yerushalayim before the Babylonians took over the city, including many officers and their soldiers, one of them being Yonatan ben Kerach, and he came out of hiding together with his soldiers and joined Gedaliah in Mitzpah. Another officer, someone of royal blood, named Yishmael ben Netanya, he also joined Gedaliah in Mitzpah. However, there's a rumor going on that Yishmael ben Netanya is being paid off by Balis, the king of Ammon, to assassinate Gedaliah ben Achikam. We also explained that the strategy of this plan of the king of Ammon was that if Gedaliah would be assassinated, then the Babylonians would become angry with those Jews who remained in Yehuda and not allow them to stay, causing the rest of the Jews to run away to Egypt or to be exiled to Babel, and that would allow Ammon to take over the country. Gedaliah, being a kind man, was not willing to listen to these rumors and did not take the advice of Yonatan ben Kerach, who offered to assassinate Yishmael before he assassinates Gedaliah. So let's turn now to Pasuk Aleph, where the story continues. Again, Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi b'chodesh ha-shvi'i, it came to pass in the seventh month, according to our Masoret, this happened on Rosh Hashanah itself, by Yishmael ben Netanya ben Elishama mizer ha-melucha, v'rabbei ha-melech, v'asro ha-nashim mito, el gdaya b'nechikam ha-mitzpata. A group of people, led by Yishmael ben Netanya, who happened to be from royal blood, mizer ha-melucha, together with Yishmael, also came Rabbi HaMelech. These seem to be some other important people who were related in some way to the king or worked for the king. That is the previous king, Tzidkiah, before he was exiled. The Esra Anashim Ito, and 10 men, most likely meaning men of war. And they come to Gedaliah ben Achikam to the mitzvah. Ve'echlu sham lechem yachda b'mitzvah. And they join in a meal together in mitzvah. This could have been a meal on Rosh Hashanah itself. Pasuk Bet. Vayakom Yishmael ben Netanya, v'aseret ha'anashim asher hayu ito. Vayakud Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shafan b'cherev v'yamet oto. So Yishmael, together with these 10 men, after eating, I'm not sure if it was before dessert or after dessert, and they stab Gedaliah ben Achikam with the sword, and they kill him. Asher yifkid melech Bavel ba'aretz, and this is Gedaliah ben Achikam, who was put in charge by the king of Bavel on the land. Pasuk Gimel. Ve'et kol ha'yudim asher hayu ito et Gedaliah b'mitzvah. All the Jews who were with Gedaliah mitzvah, we're going to see, he didn't kill everybody. Later on in the parak, we're going to see that some people were also taken captive. But it seems like the important people he killed, the people who he was afraid of that would attack him back. Ve'et ha'kazdim asher nimtzu sham. Also, the kazdim who were with him, and this makes sense according to the plan of the king of Ammon, these kazdim are probably either officials or soldiers put there by the Babylonians to oversee events. And if these Babylonians are killed as well, this for sure will get the king of Bavel angry, which will cause him to exile those who remained. The pasuk ends, et anshei ha-melchama hika Yishmael. Which people did Yishmael kill? The men of war. In other words, Yishmael doesn't just kill everyone who's there. He only kills the people who he's afraid that they're going to come and attack him back. But we'll see later on, the women and the children and the defenseless people, he leaves them alive and they'll be his captives. Pasuk Dalet, Vayhi b'yom ha'sheni lamit et Gedaliah, v'ish lo yada. It was the second day after they had assassinated Gedaliah and all the army men who were with him. The other people who remained, we'll see, were taken captive and remained in Mitzpah, but no one else found out about it because no one else had visited the city. Pasuk Hei, Vayavo anashim mishchem, mishilo, u'mishomron, 80 ish, meguchei zakan, ukrei begadim, u'mitgodedim. This is a very interesting pasuk, which there'll be many directions in the commentators of how to explain what's happening. A group of people come from the cities of Shechem, Shiloh, and from the hills of the Shomron, 80 people in total. They were coming, meaning their beards were shaven, their clothing was rent and torn, they were scratching themselves and cutting themselves. These are all signs of mourning. Most likely, this was because they heard about the Beit HaMikdash being destroyed. Therefore, they were showing outward signs of avelut, of mourning and sadness. U'mincha u'levona b'adam. Nonetheless, they were carrying a korban mincha, either a present or the korban mincha, and the levona, frankincense, that goes with the korban mincha. They were carrying that with them. L'avi Beit Adonai, to bring that to God's house. It's not quite clear what happened. It could be that they had left on their journey to come to Yerushalayim to bring these korbanot, thinking the Beit HaMikdash was still standing. And on the way, they heard the news of the Beit HaMikdash being destroyed. And therefore, when they heard that news, that's when they rent their clothes and cut off their beards and started scratching themselves. Or it could be that they knew even before they left that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. But they understood that even though the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, it's still permitted to bring korbanot. We're going to see in the beginning of the Second Temple period, as described in the third chapter of the book of Ezra, when the exiles returned, even though they didn't build the Beit HaMikdash right away, they did build a Mizbeach, and it was permitted at that time to bring korbanot on the Mizbeach, even though the Beit HaMikdash was not built. So some commentators suggest that they were planning to bring korbanot, even though they knew the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, because the halacha is, makrivim aval pi shem bayit. It's permitted to bring korbanot at the site of the Beit HaMikdash on a properly built Mizbeach, even though there's no temple. Either way, this is a very serious group of people. They're traveling, and they're passing by from up north, from the Shomron, on the way to Yerushalayim. And if you know that highway, which is Highway 60 to this very day, that highway passes through the city of Mitzpah. Yishmael is going to see them coming, and is going to go out now to meet them, and we're going to see that he's worried that these people might be a danger to him. Pasuk Vav. Vayitzei Yishmael ben Netanya likratam min haMitzpah, holech haloch uvoche. Yishmael is going to trick them, and he's going to go out to meet them, and as he goes out to meet them, he himself is crying and tearing, also showing signs of mourning. This phrase here reminds us immediately of the phrase in Shir HaMaalot that we sing before benching, Tehillim 126. Haloch yelech uvocho nosei meshech hazara, bo yevo verina nosei alumotav. As I'm sure you recall, that Mizmor Tehillim, Shir HaMaalot, Beshuv Hashem et Shivat Zion, Ahinu Kechamim, it's a psalm about Shivat Zion, and exiles returning to the land of Israel. Most likely, Sefer Yirmiyahu is using this phrase intentionally to highlight that contrasting parallel. There we're talking about how things should happen in the time of the return of our exiles, and this is going to be a tricky event by Yishmael pretending to be crying in order to trick people, as we'll see, in order to kill them. Vayikif goshotam, when Yishmael met them, pretending to be mourning together with them, vayomer alehem bo el gdayel ben achikam. But he's inviting them, come here to Mitzpah, and you'll see the new governor. Vayik kevoam el toch ha'ir. And then when they got to the city, far away from anyone else who could protect them, Vayishchatem Yishmael ben Netanya el toch habor. Yishmael is very wary of this group of people, and he shechs them, or he executes them, into a pit. Hu v'anashim asher ito, meaning Yishmael and his men, the same men who assassinated Gedaliah and killed all the military people with Gedaliah in Mitzpah, these men, together with Yishmael, kill this group of 80 people coming from the Shomron. But we'll see, they did not kill all of them. Pasachet. V'asra anashim nimtzuvam, v'emru Yishmael al timitenu. 10 of these men begged Yishmael, don't kill us, and there's something in it for you. Ki yesh lanu matmonim basadeh. We have some hidden treasures in the field. Chitim usorim v'shemen udvash. Wheat and barley and olive oil and honey, probably dvash tmarim, honey from figs and dates. V'yachdal, when Yishmael heard this, he said, hey, it pays to keep these people. He didn't kill them together with the brethren. Instead, he makes a deal with them and they stay alive. In all these events that we've seen, especially in the behavior of Yishmael and the lack of trust between people and the fact that people defected from their city, basically, we see over and over again many examples of opportunism among the people. And I don't think it began after the Korban. It seems exactly the opposite. It's this type of behavior that we see happening in Mitzvah itself is probably the same type of behavior that Yirmiyahu was talking about that made God so angry that caused him to want to bring a korban. We see here treachery, we see wanton killing of people, we see trickery, we see total lack of trust, opportunism, which are all indicators of the type of society that God was so angry with that led to the destruction of Yerushalayim. And I think the best proof of this is going to be in the next pasuk, in pasuk tet, which sounds very strange when we read it the first time. In a parenthetical manner, Sefer Yirmiyahu tells us some information about this specific pit into which Yishmael ben Netanyahu had executed these people and thrown their bodies inside. Pasuk Tet. V'habor asher ishlich sham Yishmael et pigrei ha'anashim asher ikam b'yad Gedaliyahu hu asher asa ha'melech asa b'pnei ba'asha ha'melech Yisrael oto milei Yishmael ben Netanyahu chalalim. This pit into which Yishmael had thrown the carcasses of these men, that is the same pit that King Asa had made against King Baasha of Israel. That pit Yishmael filled up with these dead bodies. Two interesting points in this pasuk. First of all, it says, which dead people's bodies did he throw into this pit? It says in the pasuk, et kol pigrei anashim asher ikah b'yad Gedaliyahu, the dead bodies of the men who were smitten through the hand of Gedaliah. Now, Gedaliah didn't kill these people. Yishmael killed them. But the pasuk seems to indicate that these people were killed through the hand of Gedaliah. So there's a beautiful Mamar Chazal that both Rashi and Radak bring down, that this is an example of what the commentators call male alav katuv ki'ilu. A pasuk treats someone as though they've done something, even though they never did it, because in a certain way they're responsible. Because Gedaliah trusted Yishmael and didn't listen to the advice of Yochanan ben Kerach, he was a little bit too trusting, and because he allowed Yishmael to come into the city, therefore he's responsible for the death of all the people that Yishmael had killed. The consequences of that statement and understanding are very deep, because we're saying here, when someone gives too much trust and allows a rasha like Yishmael ben Netanya, and he doesn't punish in a preventive manner someone who's wicked, who's going to cause damage to others, he is responsible for the death of those people that wicked person caused. Another approach in the commentators is not to understand that the pasuk is accusing Gedaliah for killing these people, but rather, b'yad Gedaliah doesn't mean through the hand of Gedaliah, but at the place of Gedaliah. Remember, the word yad can also mean a place, like Yad Vashem or Yad Avshalom. The people who were killed at the spot of Gedaliah, meaning in the mitzvah at Gedaliah's headquarters, those were the people who were killed. According to that explanation, there's no implication here that Gedaliah was responsible in any way for the death of these people, and therefore I couldn't reach the conclusion that we would reach based on the previous opinion of Ma'ale Alav HaKetuv Ki'ilu, that Pasuk treats them as though he's responsible. The next point in the Pasuk is even more intriguing. Why is Sefer Yirmiyahu informing us of this trivial detail of who originally dug this pit? And if you know your history, this pit was dug by the king Asa against Baasha. We're talking about some 350 years earlier. Recall the king Asa was a great-grandson of Shlomo. We had Shlomo, then Rechavam, then Aviyah, and Asa. Why would the Navi bother to tell us that this pit originally was dug some 350 years earlier by the king Asa against Baasha? Once again, the Navi is making an allusion to an earlier event because of its thematic significance. If you return to Malachim Aleph, Perek Tet Vav, chapter 15, there we find the story of this war between Asa and Baasha. Recall that when the kingdom split between Yehuda and the northern tribes, the tribe of Binyamin joined together with Yehuda against the other 10 tribes. That would make the border between Yehuda and the 10 tribes somewhere in the area of Binyamin. If you ever traveled on Highway 60 in the pre-intifada days, and I had the privilege of being there in my reserve duty service in the 1980s several times, it's very easy to identify where the site of Mitzvah is. Nowadays, it's a tell called Tel Anatzva. It's a hill overlooking this Highway 60, that highway that traverses the central mountain range of Israel. And as we mentioned before, that highway begins in Beersheba, goes through Hebron, through Gush Etzion, through Yerushalayim, up through Beit El, to Shiloh, and then to Shechem. And in the section between Yerushalayim and Beit El, that road winds between several hills, and there's a very narrow pass on that road, which is right below Mitzpah. Meaning, if you're marching troops along that highway, Mitzpah would be a very strategic location for an army sitting on top of that hill on the narrow pass in the road, would be very easy to control traffic going north and south. This site of Mitzpah is a little bit south of Ramallah today. Therefore, if someone's traveling from the Shomron on the way to Yerushalayim, he passes Beit El, and then he passes Mitzpah, then he passes Ramah that we discussed in yesterday's shir. The next hill will be Givat Shaul, where Hussein built his palace in the 1960s, and the site where Shaul himself reigned as king, which is nowadays an eastern suburb of Pisgat Ze'ev. The next hill is going to be Shoafat, or French Hill, and then you get to Har Tzofim, or basically, you're already in Yerushalayim, Ramat Eshkol, and the road to the Old City. So keep that geography in mind, and recall that between Mitzpah and Ramah is a very strategic location where anyone who wants to keep military control of that highway has to control these cities of Mitzpah and Ramah. So we're going to read now in Malachim Aleph, Perek Tet Vav, Pasuk Tet Zayin, verse 16. Umechama hita bein Asa ubein Baasha melech Yisrael ko yimehem. There was a state of war between Asa and Baasha throughout their entire lives. And now Sefer Melachim is going to describe a skirmish between these two warring sides. Bayav Baasha melech Yisrael al Yehuda, bayiven et harama, levelti tet yotze uva l'asa melech Yehuda. What did Baasha do? He's making a very wise military decision, and he moves his troops south of Beit El, past Mitzvah. He builds up the city of Ramah in order to stop any advancement of the troops of Asa farther north. Asa doesn't like this, and he's going to do something to get back at Baasha. Pasuk Yudchet, Vayikach Asa et kol hakesef ha'zahav hanotarim botzrot Beit Hashem, vayitnem biyad avadav, Vayishlachem ha-melech Asa ha-ben-hadad melech Aram. What does Asa do? Asa takes some money. He collects the money from the Beit HaMikdash and from his own treasury. And then he sends a bribe to the king of Aram, who is in Damascus, and he tells him as follows. Brit b'niu b'necha. We have a treaty. Hinei shalachti l'cha shochad, kesef ezav. I'm sending you a bribe, gold and silver. Lech hafera et britcha et basha melech Yisrael v'yaleh mi'alai. I want you to break your treaty with Basha, the king of Israel. They were working together for some time. I'm going to pay you, and I want you to go and attack my brethren of the north, so they stop attacking me. So again, the king of Yehuda is sending money to a foreign power to send his troops to attack the 10 tribes up north. Vayishma ben Hadad et melech Asa. Ben Hadad took this bribe. Vayishlach et tzarei ha-chayalim asher lo al arei Yisrael. He begins attack from Lebanon onto the Galil. Vayachet Iyun ved Dan. Iyun is the area of Metula. Nachal Iyun is right there. At Dan is where Tel Dan is today. At Adel Beit Macha, also very close to Metula near Kfar Giladi. That called Kinarot, that called Eretz Naphtali. Kinarot is the area of the Kinneret, and Eretz Naphtali is the area of Tzvat, or basically the eastern Upper Galilee. Once that war broke out up north, when Basha heard this, he stopped building the Ramah. He stopped his aggression against the king of Yehuda. Basically, the bribe worked, and he had to go back and defend himself up north, therefore stopped building up Ramah against Yehuda. What's Melech Asa do now? But Melech Asa hishmiat kol Yehuda einaki. Asa told everyone in Yehuda, no one is free from joining in this war effort. Vayisuat avnei haramah vet etzeha asher bana Basha. They took all the building materials that Basha was using to fortify the city of Ramah against Yehuda. He's going to take those same building materials and move them to the north of this narrow pass. We'll see in a minute, to the city of Mitzpah. Even Bam Hamelech Asad Geva Binyamin Vet Hamitzpah. Melech Asa uses these very same building materials to make a military barrier to build a wall to the north of Mitzpah, between Mitzpah and Geva Binyamin. What we see here, that the area of Mitzpah is of critical military importance because it's a narrow pass between north and south, and therefore it always formed the border between the 10 tribes in Yehuda, and hence becomes a symbol of the separation between these two monarchies, or what we call Pilug HaMamlacha. Yirmiyahu the Navi, who wrote Sefer Melachim, puts a heavy blame on Pilug HaMamlacha, on the split of the kingdom from the time of Yerovam, and he blames the Churban on that hatred. In that sense, the city of Mitzpah becomes a symbol of this tension between north and south, and this hatred among one another, what we call Sinat Achim. Asa had built this trench, or this bor, into which Yishmael ben Netanyah had thrown the dead bodies into. That pit, that bor, was part of the fortifications, and sort of like an anti-tank trench, in that time period, an anti-chariot trench, to stop the advancement of troops from the north to the south. But that trench becomes a symbol of the division between the tribes, and hence serves as a symbol of Sinat Achim through the entire First Temple period. So it could be that when Sefer Yirmiyahu mentions that trench into which Yishmael threw those dead bodies into, it's not just a technical detail, it's an example of prophetic irony of how sad it is that the site where this tension between north and south had begun 350 years earlier, at the beginning of the First Temple period, is the exact same site where it all ends, when someone who claimed to be a Jewish leader, someone of royal blood, Yishmael ben Netanyah, assassinates the last remnant of hope, killing Gedaliah ben Achikam, and in a very sad way, that's the end of the First Temple period. And now we can much better appreciate why Chazal instituted a fast day on Tzom Gedaliah. Again, it's not just the assassination of one person, it's tragic how everything fell apart. That type of behavior was typical of the society of Yerushalayim, the same society that the Nevi'im like Yishayel and Hoshea and Amos and Micha and Yirmiyahu were complaining about over and over again. Let's return now to our study of Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Vayish Yishmael et kol sherit ha'am asher b'mitzpah. After killing these people, Yishmael also took captive the remaining people who were in Mitzpah. Who were these people? Et benot ha'melech v'et kol ha'am anisharim b'mitzpah. The daughters of the king, there must have been a lot of women of royal descent who were not exiled. Ved kol ha'am nisharim b'mitzpah, all the remaining people in Mitzpah. Asher yifkid Nebuzaradan, Rav Tabachim, et Gedaliah ben Achikam. Those people who Nebuzaradan allowed to stay in Mitzpah with Gedaliah. Vayishbei Mishmael ben Netanya, vayelech lavor el b'nei Amon. He took them captive, and he went with them together to move now to the area of Amon. Yishmael knows that he can't stay in Yehuda very long. He's expecting the Babylonians to come and punish those who killed Gedaliah. Therefore, he knows he has to run away. So he takes these captives with him, and he runs away. It could be that he's even taking these women as hostages, so that in case he's caught by any of his fellow Jews, he can tell them, don't kill me or I'll kill them. So far, the plan of the king of Ammon to cause havoc in Yehuda is working too well. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayishma Yochanan ben Kareach v'chol sarei achalim asher ito et kol hara'a asher asa Yishma ben Netanya. But the word got out finally of what happened, and Yochanan ben Kareach, our hero from before, who warned Gedaliah that this might happen, he heard about it. He wasn't there when the massacre happened. So he and all the soldiers out in the field who were with him, he heard about what Yishmael had done, how he assassinated Gedaliah and killed all the people, and he's going to come now to do something about it. Pasuk Yud-Bet. Vayichu et kol anashim, vayichu lilachem im Yishmael ben Netanya, vayimtzu oto el maim rabim asher begivon. So Yochanan ben Kareach takes his forces with him, and they go to engage Yishmael in battle, and they meet him near the great waters in the city of Givon. These Maim Rabim in Givon have been mentioned before in Tanakh, and it should not surprise you that it's first mentioned in the showdown between the soldiers of Avner and Yoav earlier in the book of Shmuel Bet. In Shmuel Bet, Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud Bet, we have the story of the showdown between Avner, who is the head of the army for Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, against Yoav ben Tsruya, who is the head of the army for the men of David, and they met in the Brecha in Givon. There we have the famous phrase, Yakumu Nahanarim Visachaku Lefanenu. They sent 12 soldiers on each side, who all killed each other, which was basically the first shots of a civil war between Shaul and David, which lasted for many years. So again, ironically, this last event in the book of Yirmiyahu, which is the last civil war of the first temple period, takes place at the exact same site where the first civil war took place, almost 500 years earlier, between the house of Shaul and the house of David. So now let's see what happens in this battle in Givon. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayiki rot kol ha'am asher et Yishmael et Yochanan ben Kareach ve'et kol sarei achalim asher ito vayismachu. When all the people who were with Yishmael, who he was taking with him to Ammon to run away, when they saw Yochanan ben Kareach coming, they were very happy. And now the people who are captive are hoping that Yochanan and his men will save them. Not only that, some of the soldiers who had joined Yishmael are also going to defect now from Yishmael and join Yochanan. Pasuk Yedalad. Vayasobu kol ha'am Asher Shava Yishmael bin HaMitzpah. All the people who Yishmael had taken captive in Mitzpah, they turned around now. V'yashuvu v'yachu el Yochanan ben Kareach. They returned and they came and joined Yochanan ben Kareach. So there was no one with Yishmael to help him anymore. V'yishmael ben Netanya nimlat b'shmon anashim. He only had 8 men loyal to him. He went with those 8 men to try to run away. V'bnei Yochanan, because of Yochanan ben Kareach. V'yilech ha'bnei Amon, he was able to get away and ran away to the king of Ammon who had sent him. Now let's see what Yochanan ben Kareach is going to do with all these people who he had saved and all of his men. Are they going to return to Mitzpah? Let's see what he decides. Pasuk Tzayin. Vayikach Yochanan ben Kareach v'chol sarei achalim asher ito et kol sherit ha'am asher ishiv meit Yishmael ben Netanya min ha'mitzpah. So Yochanan and his men took all the captives and all the men who were with Yishmael beforehand in Mitzpah. Acharikai Gedaliah ben Achikam. Those people who remained after he killed Gedaliah ben Achikam and all of his supporters. And this group that he took included Gvarim Anshei Mechama, some men of war as well who had been with Yishmael and now turned sides to be with Yochanan. V'nashim v'taf v'sarisim, also women and children and eunuchs. Asher Yishim v'Givon, all the people who he brought back from this battle in Givon. Where now are they all going to go? They are very fearful the king of Ammon's plan is going to work, that when the Babylonians hear that Gedaliah was assassinated by his fellow Jews, they're going to come and exile everyone. And therefore, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayechu, they left Mitzpah area, they left the area of Binyamin, and they're going to go south now to Yehuda. Vayishvu b'gerut kimham asher etzel beit lechem, lelechet levo Mitzrayim. Now they go a little bit south to an area called Gerut Kimham. We don't know where that is, but it's somewhere near Beit Lechem. Beit Lechem is between Gush Etzion and Yerushalayim, therefore they're going south. Lelechet levo Mitzrayim, they're planning to go now down to Egypt. If you're in the area of Binyamin and you want to go down to Egypt, you're going to go down Highway 60 from Yerushalayim towards Gush Etzion, towards Hebron, towards Beersheba, on your way to Egypt. Mibnei HaKazdim ki yaru mibneihem. Why did they leave? Because they were fearful of the Kazdim. Ki ikai Yishmael ben Netanya et Gedaliah ben Achikam asher hifkid melech bavel ba'aretz. Because Yishmael had killed Gedaliah ben Achikam, who the Babylonians put in charge, as the king of Ammon had planned, he's sure that this assassination is going to get the Babylonians very angry, and they're going to bring in their troops and exile the rest of the people. So before the Babylonians come with their army, Yochanan ben Kareach decides, let's take who's ever left and let's get out of here. It's just not safe here anymore, and they decide to go down to Egypt. In the next chapter, they're going to go and turn to Yirmiyahu and ask him, should we go to Egypt or shouldn't we go to Egypt? But that will be the topic of tomorrow's share.